I'm waiting my lovely, here we go, my lovely assistant. I've actually got a little slide up. When I was preparing this morning, because I'm going to be talking about again about the temple of God, and every time I thought about it, because it's talking about we are the temple, for some reason the Queen song We Are the Champions came into my head, so that's why We Are the Champions scored out temple of God. So that was it just kept coming to me every time. So as I say, I'm going to be talking about the temple today. But I want to touch on it from three different aspects this morning. I have previously spoken about the temple, and the lovely Phyllis will put up another wee slide for me. It's a different... Ooh! Sorry. Okay. It's a different slide from I used the last time. But it's actually talking about the temple. So this is from an earthly perspective. So God previously had given instructions to the Israelites about building the temple, and he was so specific about everything of this temple, how it should be built, the size of each room, the materials that should be used, the colours that should be used. Everything about it was actually precise. It is so detailed, it's untrue. But the temple, actually, where the Israelites used to go and worship, they actually came and used this building, and it was they considered it a very sacred place for them to meet. It's where they went to worship, and the same way that we come together, this is where the Israelites actually went to worship. It's where they took their sacrifices to God. They would give them to the priest, and the priest would make the sacrifices, but this is where they brought their sacrifices. It's where they presented their requests to God. And it's where the Ark of the Covenant actually was. The Ark of the Covenant, or within the Ark of the Covenant, was the Ten Commandments which God gave to Moses. So this was all held in this special space. And the Ark of the Covenant is actually behind that curtain there with the... looks like two lions on it, actually, but I think it's angels, but it looks like two lions. So that is the earthly temple that I've previously talked about. But what I want to do is actually move on to two other aspects. In the book of Revelation, we find that's the very last book of the Bible, written by John. He actually was taken to heaven and was given this prophetic visions for the churches. Within it, you'll see bits where it talks about the opening of the seals, and it also gives us a visual image of what heaven is actually going to be like. The place in Revelation 21:3, it says, we see that God and the Lamb dwelling with people in harmony forever. I'm going to do a bit of bending up and down here. You will see I'm using this as opposed to this, and that's because I found I was a wee bit small behind it. I felt as if I needed a box to stand on when I was behind that. So as John described in the scene of Revelation 21:22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So whereas the earthly temple was a place that everybody went to worship, when we actually get to the book of Revelations, when we're talking about heaven, there is no physical building. So when we all get to heaven, we will not on a Sunday morning traipse off to this particular building, because we will actually be dwelling with God, because it says God and the Lamb are the temple. So we've got completely different perspectives on the temple. So we've got the old, and we have got what is to come. So the past and the future. So completely different. So do we have anything in between? And it's actually the in between that I actually want to talk about today. So what's the third element? Well, it's actually us. Phyllis, next slide, please. So 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 17 tells us, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. And then the next scripture, slide next I'm keeping Phyllis busy here. Slide 4. 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies." So if we choose to accept Jesus as our Saviour, we waive the right to do whatever we want with our bodies. So, as I say, I'm actually looking at three different aspects of the temple, but actually within this element, within it being the temple for us, I want to look at three elements within that as well. The first one is actually to look at our bodies. Now, I don't know about you, but quite often when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, I don't go, "Hey, the temple of God." I go, "Ugh," but that's beside the point. So I actually had a look at, little look at the Scottish Health Survey for 2021, and I've noted down a few details. It talked about, if we're looking at physical weight, at the time, 67% of Scottish people were overweight, 30% were classed to be obese, 4% were classed to be morbidly obese. If you looked at the category of drugs, for 15 to 64-year-olds, it was estimated that approximately 57,000 people, Scottish people, which is 1 in 60% of the population, were involved in drugs. And for exercise, 69% of adults met the guidelines for moderate or vigorous activity, which was about 150 minutes of moderate physical activity, or 75 minutes of vigorous activity, or a combination of two. The good news actually is the exercise, actually, that figure is actually improving. So, why am I, if we're talking about the Bible and we've come to worship God, why am I talking about statistics of drugs, bodies, exercise, etc.? A lot of Christians would actually say, and rightly so, God looks at the heart, and he does. God looks, if you talk about looking at the Bible, he talks about our attitudes. He talks about how it's important for us to have the right attitude, to think the right things. It tells you, you know, like if you think about murdering somebody, that's the equivalent of doing it. So it's very important that, you know, what's in our hearts and our minds, it's important. But does that mean that because God looks at the heart, that he doesn't care about the outer shell? I would disagree. I would say that he does. He has given us this shell. We might not all be the shape or the size that we actually want. Some of us might want to be taller, some of us smaller, some of us, you know, look completely different. Some want to be blonde, some want to be dark, whatever it happens to be. But this is the bodies that we've each given. This is the body that God had says he wants to dwell in. He has called each of us temple. So another aspect is with actually our spirits. So over the last few months, I've actually been challenged with getting deeper with God and spending more one-to-one time with him. Quite often when if I'm working in Glasgow, I'm getting an earlier train, and when I'm driving to the station, I'm listening to, I think it's Premier Radio, and quite often there's Chuck Swindoll is actually playing. His sermons are actually playing, and he's actually really good. So I actually bought one of his books, Exhibit A. It's called Searching the Scriptures. And I want to read you a little element of this book, if you bear with me, please. It says, "No one can deny the importance of bodily nutrition, our energy levels, our ability to cope with life's challenges, and even our mental attitudes are directly linked to the intake of the right foods, eaten regularly, and in the proper amounts. Optimal health requires optimal nutrition. The same is true when it comes to spiritual matters. Without sufficient and regular Bible nutrition, our inner lives begin to suffer the consequences. Our souls long to be fed, nourished, and energized by the scriptures on a regular basis. And when we fail to set time aside to digest healthy spiritual food, it isn't long before the consequences start to kick in, and it's not a pretty sight. We start to operate out of the flesh rather than under the control of God's Spirit. We become shallow and selfish, more demanding, less gentle. We react impatiently, rashly, angrily. These are the telltale signs of inner malnutrition. So it's not just a physical, it's a spiritual. So it's a spiritual malnutrition when we don't. I know that when I don't spend time with God, the flesh becomes stronger. We need God to be constantly, you know, for us to be in relationship with God, for to be surrendering ourselves, for God to be influencing our lives. When we don't, the self grows. It's like yeast in bread. It grows and grows. Phyllis, could I have the next slide, please? So John 14 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and he will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Billy Graham says that the Holy Spirit is not a something or an it, because quite often people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, but it's not, it's a he. He is someone. He is God. I know one of the songs that she's talked to and actually mentioned the Trinity in it. So the Holy Spirit is part of that Trinity. Three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't worship multiple gods. We're not worshiping the Spirit or, you know, the Holy Spirit or the Son. It's the Trinity, all three. Oops, sorry. Talk amongst yourselves. Jesus was just God in human form, and the Holy Spirit inside us comes when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives and grow closer to God. So when we accept Christ, we become the temple of God, and therefore we become the house that the precious gift of the Holy Spirit dwells in. So I want to look at one final element, which is actually minds, or mind. Next slide, Phyllis, please. Thank you. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but because I'm covering different elements, I want to see where my thinking was coming from. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So why do we need to guard our mind? Well, you may have heard the phrase, you are what you eat. Surely that applies to our minds as well. If we only ever read or watch or listen or speak sinful, unholy, violent things, then why would we expect to be in tune with God? Why would we expect to be producing the fruits of the Spirit if we're actually not spending time with God, if we're not soaking in what God's actually saying to us? I'm actually going to read quite a few questions, and I'm not expecting you to shout out answers to them. It's just things for us to consider. So what are we feeding our minds then? If you think about your week or your month, what do you feed your minds with? Do you feast on the Word of God, or are we merely snacking on it? Is the only scriptures we ever see in a week what we might see on a Sunday morning when the speaker's up? If the physical food that we eat in a week was to be mirrored by your spiritual, would you be full or would you be starving? Do we suffer from malnutrition, spiritual malnutrition? Do we follow Jesus' example and spend time alone with God? What are we listening to? What are we watching? Do we listen to other Christian preachers, listen to Christian music, read the Word of God, read Christian books? Basically, all these questions are, what are we feeding our minds with? Now, to be clear, there is nothing wrong with watching something on the telly or listening to something, you know, like in the music charts or reading, you know, the latest novel by someone. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's, what are we feeding? If it were solely ever watching something, you know, non-Christian things, or solely listening to, you know, non-Christian music, if our whole life is listening to getting fed by non-Christian things, then the balance is going to be out. If we're not reading our Bible, our balance is going to be out. So I touched on the Ten Commandments earlier on that were housed in the old temple, the Old Testament temple. Now, one of the commandments says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I have to say, I do struggle with this one. It's a commandment that I do actually struggle with, because quite often I'll try and fit things in. If I'm busy, I'm trying to fit in lots of things. So I do actually struggle with doing that one myself. But God actually gave us this commandment. He did it himself. He worked for 6 days and God rested. And he gave us that commandment to help us spiritually and physically and mentally. It's a Ten Commandment we really need to take on board, and maybe you do. I know it's one I need to work on. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 6, again, it says, do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you receive from God? You are not your own, and you were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. So do we need to make changes in how we conduct ourselves? Do we need to look at the choices that we actually make? One of the biggest choices, or the most important choice that we ever really need to make, is whether we've accepted Jesus Christ into our lives. If we haven't, then I would actually suggest that you do. I would encourage you to do so, and not to leave here today if you haven't. Jesus died on the cross for us all because of the great love he has for us, so that we may have the gift of eternal life. If it's something you've not done and want to discuss further, then discuss it with the elders or deacons, or speak to me at the end. And if you're not sure who the elders and deacons are, there's a you'll see the pictures on the wall just beside the tea. So I want to finish with just saying, why is it important to look at the temple from both an outside and inside perspective? As we said, it's important that we get our minds right, our hearts right. But I think it's important that we keep this temple, our physical temple, good as well. If we boil it down to basics, I know that I like to live in a clean house, tidy house. Can't say it's always tidy, but as a general rule, it's tidy. And if I was to invite you round for a cup of tea or some dinner, I know that I would do my best to try and make sure that my house was tidy. I would try and tidy away all the rubble that gets left, make sure that, you know, that everything's clean. I would dust, I would hoover, I'd make sure my bathroom was clean, I would make sure the cup I gave you was clean. I would do my best to actually make sure that the place was welcoming and it was hospitable. So for me, the question would be, why would I not do that for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who chose to dwell within me, to try and make that the most hospitable place that I can? Thank you.